Alan Paller is the founder of SANS, a cybersecurity training school. And Alan, you advise the federal government, among other people, on how to deal with cyber risks. Are hackers like Andrew Auernheimer a big worry?
Uncontrolled vigilantes are a big worry. People who think that they're above the law and they can go break into anything they want and steal anything they want. And they're a big worry because they are creating damage to the people that they break into and making it okay for thousands and thousands of other people to break into things. It's just vigilantism, and it's not a good idea.
But he says, you know, that they were accessing public resources. The quote I have is, it's like they printed a book and I flipped open the pages and we just criticized what they put in the book. You don't see it that way?
I don't see it that way. It's still theft of things that don't belong to them. It's not in a book. They didn't go to the library. They didn't check a book out. They didn't do that.
But surely AT&T, in this instance, should have been doing a better job in terms of protecting the privacy of its customers. He makes a decent point.
Ah, that's the key question. And the parallel to that is you're the treasurer for a church, and somebody notices that your house door was left open, and they come in and they steal the money for the church, and then they give it back to the pastor, and they say, she did a bad job of protecting the money. That's not the way it should be done. The way it should be done is notice the door was unlocked and tell the pastor. And that's what these people aren't doing. They're after 15 minutes of fame. They're not after protecting the customers of AT&T.
So you don't think when he says that, you know, no one else is looking out for me as a customer, my protection online, when companies like this are being so sloppy with our information, you don't think he has a point when he says, if I don't look into it, if I don't say something, no one will?
He's wrong on every one of those statements. One, people are looking into it hard. When you see the new executive order coming out of the White House, it pushes hard on telecommunications companies to radically improve security. When you say no one is looking at it, there are people inside AT&T, some of the very best in the country, who are actually looking at it all the time, trying to find this. And the big one is, it isn't AT&T that has these holes. It's every organization that has these holes. And they need to be fixed on a systemic basis by the vendors delivering safer systems, rather than blaming places like AT&T because they didn't do something that's extremely hard to do. And even Defense Department computers aren't perfectly protected.
So do you feel that the punishment, well, he's not sentenced yet, but he's facing up to 2 5-year sentences and some big fines. Do you think that the punishment fits the crime?
I'm not an expert on sentencing, but little punishments, tiny punishments, don't seem to work. So big punishments may be the only way to stop the vigilantes from creating a chaos in cyberspace.
But surely there must be a better way of working with someone like Andrew Auernheimer. And I mean, they all seem to be these young, really smart guys. Just putting them in prison, isn't there something more productive that we could do?
Well, I think we should have solved it ahead of time. If you want that way forward, it was to give Andrew a place where he could take his suspicions where, if it mattered to the country, they would have been acted on. And there's really no one in the country you can say, hey, I shook the door at AT&T and it's unlocked. You guys really better look at it. There's nowhere in the United States that he can go and say that. That's probably missing. But having broken into the place and stolen things that don't belong to him, that's a model that we cannot afford as a nation to support.
I mean, did he really hurt anyone, though? Because exposing a flaw in the protection of a customer's private information doesn't really seem like a very big deal compared to, say, you know, the Chinese government potentially hacking into U.S. government institutions or the New York Times, as we just heard the other day.
I'm fascinated by that comparison. I think you're looking at it through the media's eyes, meaning as a member of the media, that breaking into the New York Times is more important. I don't think so. I think these are common attacks that escalate out of control very fast. So what happens when these young hackers go in and find something is they don't stop there. They continue to dig deeper, take more. It's a sense of excitement. It's a sense of, let me see what I can do. And it's a sense of I want to show off. And those things cause damage.
I mean, I guess what I'm comparing more is, like, shouldn't more attention and resources be paid to stopping attacks by, let's say, you know, Chinese hackers and governments, other governments, as opposed to one 20-something dude?
Oh, good question. And the answer is no, you cannot find the sophisticated attacks if you're completely blinded by the noise of all of these gaming hackers. If you can't find the sophisticated attacks if they're hidden in the noise of a lot of little attacks. You actually have to get the little attacks down so you can have the fidelity in your watching to find the really sophisticated attacks. So absolutely not. These little attacks actually make it very hard to find the more sophisticated attacks.
Let me just ask you, just to sum up, why you think it's worth taking these hacktivists, as they call themselves, seriously and prosecuting them.
It's important that we prosecute the hacktivists because they create a model for chaos on the internet and a model that says it's okay to commit crimes.
Whether you like them or believe them or think that they're just being bullies, they really truly are exposing holes.
Yeah, but there are holes in every single system. It just doesn't make the world a better place, what they're doing.
Gotcha.
Exposing holes when there are holes everywhere isn't a good thing. Exposing that there are holes everywhere is a good thing. That's what a lot of people do, but that's not what these kids are doing.
But what he's saying is that I'm exposing holes because if I don't, other people who are malicious will find those holes.
Right, and it's just not true. The other people have already found all those holes, and they are already attacking them. So what he's really saying is, I'm exposing them so I can force the company to fix them. And I just don't think that's right. That's not why he's doing it. And A, and B, I don't think that's the way to get them to fix it. And C, it messes up the internet for all the rest of us.
So how should they get them to fix it?
Like, let's take all these, the New York Times attack and the Washington Post attack, and there's some more you don't know about. And about 1,000 companies have been hit pretty hard with the same kind of attack. Turns out that the Australians found 4 very simple controls that will stop those attacks. That doesn't mean it'll stop every attack, but it'll build the walls a lot higher. Very inexpensive. What has to happen is that companies need to be embarrassed when they don't do that, when they don't implement those controls. But and that's the work of people like the Center for Strategic and International Studies and Tony Sager at the Consortium for Cybersecurity Action. It's why the White House is coming out with the executive order this week. You can actually get these things fixed once you know that there are solutions. 8 months ago, people didn't know what the solution was. So a lot of these attacks, you really didn't know how to stop them. Now we do. In the old days, everybody used to call these guys Spider-Man. Isn't it exciting? He knows how to break into those things. And they did, but they were dangerous. And they're dangerous now, too.
Alan Paller is the founder of SANS. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.